no, we have missed one here, sis. My apologies. My apologies. There you go. Amen. If you have your Bibles, she was so little, I didn't see her coming. Have your Bibles, going to John chapter number 12. I would like to say, in John chapter number 12, if you're finding that, I'm going to be preaching about seed today. But I would like to say we have a very large following, believe it or not, online, which is good. But online just introduces them to our church. And someday there's a spot here in all these seats for them. Amen. And you're going to start hearing me acknowledge that some. Aren't we appreciative of all those that do log in, listen to online, and may not be able to come out? We have a place that on Sunday, by the end of the day, they can go and hear that message and be fed and be touched and hopefully stirred and in Jesus' name changed. Amen. But we don't want them just to be out there. We want them to come be a part of the body of Christ. There's always room for them to come grow with us. So I am thankful for all of those that do listen online. John chapter number 12, verses 23 through 25. That's where we're starting today. It says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, and the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." Notice that. It abideth alone. "But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." 1 Corinthians is the next passage we're going to, chapter number 15. Verses number 38 through 35 through 38. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 38 reads like this. "But some man will say, How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool! That which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body that it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." Then we're flipping over now to Psalms. And I know I'm going to a bunch of different passages today, but I wanted to just give you a little context of where we are trying to go. Psalms chapter 126, verses 5 and 6. Psalms chapter 126, verses 5 and 6. It says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I want to preach just for a little while, and if you want to set your tabs in your Bible here for another passage, I'm going to give it to you. We're going to be looking at that in a few moments, and that is Psalms chapter number 1. Just put your finger there. And we're going to pray, and then I'm going to let you be seated. Heavenly Father, we love you, and I'm asking you, God, to reach down into this place today with your anointing and your spirit. Allow us to recognize the value of what you're doing in our lives, that there is a mode, and there is a reason, there is a rhyme to what you're trying to do with our lives, that we're not just here on accident, we're not here by happenstance, we don't stand in the place that we're at, we don't have the family that we have just because, but we are a child of God, and there's a reason behind everything that you do. We ask you, God, to help me to impart that to them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Farming, we are in a farming area, a farming society, if you will, a farming community. And farming has progressed in today's world, but very rarely do you see a farmer in the field with a little single row planter putting seed in that little push planter and going down a field from one end to the other, all the way down that field, putting a little seed in there, turn around and going all the way back down. Very rarely do you see people in the field today that are going down through there with a hoe all the way down a whole cornfield, dragging that hoe behind them, and going behind and dropping seed and kicking over, and dropping seed and kicking it over, dropping seed. We may do that in our gardens, but they don't do that. There was a time when a farmer had to go out in the field. He had to cultivate that field with animals. He had to cultivate that field with a very, very hard labor. But today you see a man get into a tractor that takes up the whole road, pulling a cedar that was probably a 16 or 18, some of them 24 rows wide. They drop those big old arms out there. They got a truck that pulls up beside it, and it pumps the seed out of that big seed hauler, and it dumps it into each of those big bins on the back of that seed and that planter. And that planter lays out, and it marks the next row, and it takes off down through there. And some of them even today are run by a GPS, so it doesn't get the rows off. It's got sensors that tells if the planter is not working the way it's supposed to. One man can plant a field that used to take a whole spring to get planted by many men. Now that one man can plant that whole field in a matter of an hour. Isn't that amazing? I remember as a young man, I worked on a farm for years growing up, and I was running the planter one day, and as I was planting a particular field, I began to run that planter down through there, and I was putting seed in. Everything was going good, and I got it all done, and I went back and took the planter to the farm and the tractor to the farm and switched implements, and I hooked onto the hay wagons, and we went and started baling hay, and I got back to the farm, and Chuck comes over, and he says, "Brent," he says, "something don't seem right with that field you planted." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, there's a spot there, a section that I'm going down through there, and I'm just spot checking, and I'm finding one particular row. It looks like something happened with the planter." We went back and we pulled the cover on the planter, and sure enough, one of those bins was clear full of seed. I remember him going back out there, and what took me literally hour and a half to plant the whole field took him and another guy all day long to find that row and trace my marks and figure out which row didn't have seed. And all day long they were out there hand planting an entire field of one row because something went faulty with the planter. Planting is different today than it used to be. It's a much bigger project, much easier project or task, a lot more expensive, but a lot less time. But as much as we look at the fields and the beauty of the corn coming up and the beans coming up and the things that we see in the field, we must understand that even though the process has changed, the principle is still the same. No matter what you do, it still takes a little piece of seed, and it still has to be put in the dirt, and the dirt has to be broken around it, and it still has to be covered up, and it still has to have a little sunshine, and it still has to have a little water, and it still has to have a little bit of temperature. And you know what? Those seeds will come up every single time. There is something knowing that even though the process has changed around us, the principle of planting something still is the same. The Bible says some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. There's another element to farming that we have seen over the last few years. Just some year or so ago, maybe two now, we found around this area that the rain began to come, and you need a little rain in the spring to help the crops grow. But the problem was the rain didn't stop, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. Rained so much that they had to cancel the little festivals in the park because the whole park was completely underwater. People lost parts of their houses. We had something called a flood. There are some things that are left when it comes to farming to chance, but not so much chance, but what we call the supernatural. As hard as you want to see a beautiful field or garden or whatever you want, you can put the seed in the ground. You can do everything right on your end. But if the elements surrounding that seed are not right, that seed will never come up. If there's too much water, the seed will rot. If there's not enough water, it'll dry out. If there's too much dirt on top, it'll never burst through to ever reach the sunlight. If there's not enough, the birds will come along and eat it because it's laying on top of the ground. There's so much that goes into the elements of all of it. But there's only so much we can handle, and there's only so much we can do. And the reality is, when it comes to seed, it's still just a seed. I was amazed that we had some friends that gave us a particular type of green bean. And we would plant them in our garden. They were a really tender green bean. They were really good. And we had a bag of them. And probably for about 3 years in a row, I planted our garden of green beans out of the same bag. Those seeds were still good. As long as they never went in the dirt. And as long as they stayed in a semi-unsunlit, fairly neutral temperature, those seeds would sit there. And never once do I ever remember going in there and finding a bag full of green beans. Never once do I ever remember pulling that bag off and think, well, these things have all sprouted. They would lay there just dormant, just still, just dry, waiting to be planted. What I look at across this room today is lives, hand-designed, hand-picked, created in the image of God, made perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ, washed and purified and set into place. And what I'm seeing today is people that the Bible describes as seed. Just as something that God has put into this earth. That's been brought to this place as Mordecai told Esther, could it be you're here just for this time? Just for this cause? And I look at people all across this place today that I see. Some have sprouted, some are grown, some are laying dormant. We're all at different stages. But the reality is, God put us here for a purpose and a cause. And it wasn't just accident. It wasn't just a circumstance. But God brought you and He put us together at this particular time to be here for this particular world so that He might bring something. The Bible says to bring forth much fruit. One of the particular passages that I read said that in order for that seed to grow, there was some requirements that had to take place. One of them was it had to go into the ground. And it had to be willing to die. Now, when we're talking about death here, nobody's jumping up, volunteers. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about, in order for us to be what God has called us to be, we have to be willing to sacrifice things in our lives. We have many things in our lives that we would classify as we live as a blessed people. Very few of us got up this morning and wondered what we were going to have to eat today. Very few of us got up this morning and was shivering under the cold snow. Anybody surprised this morning when you looked out? I thought it was just foggy. And then I looked a little closer and I thought, oh, Lord, did you really need to on Sunday? Couldn't have we got the snow on Monday? You know that scares church people. I go to work all week in a snowstorm, but come Sunday, it's too bad to go to church. pastor shouldn't think like that, should he? But we're human. That's exactly right. And when you look out there and you see those things, but there's something about knowing what we know when we know some things are worth living for. And all those blessings that we have are required. That some of those blessings that we count as blessings are not really blessings at all. But there are things that we must set aside. There's things that agendas in our lives and purposes that we feel that we have, and things that are maybe on a pecking order in my life that I could call success, or maybe that I could call I've arrived, or maybe it's a few more nickels in my pocket. Maybe it's having this or having that. But there are some things that the Bible says in order for us to be called and used and to bring to fruition what God would want us to have and to be and to fit into His perfect will. It's going to require that we are willing to walk away from some things. I don't believe God called us to be a people that are poor or a people that don't have any enjoyment in life. We don't have the finest things of life. I don't believe God called us that we should live a blessed life. But the reality is we as individuals have to be willing to mold our life into the will of God's. That's the hardest part to do. We all have an individual goals. We all have individual thoughts of things that we want to be. We all have places that we see ourselves. And most of them are built around pride. Just being honest. Most of them are built around flesh. A lot of them are built around lust. A lot of them are built around things that aren't like Christ at all. But inside of us is a will that's not like God. And when we are bought with a price and we are purchased, there becomes a battle within ourselves. Before we just lived to achieve whatever I wanted. But when we put on the cause of Christ, now all of a sudden a battle begins to form, and there's something begins to happen on the inside, and there's two wills that start to fight against each other, and there's a pushback and a tug of war, if you will, and there's a day of reckoning, if you will, with inside of every single one of our minds, and we get up every morning with this battle going on in our minds. How many wish sometimes you didn't have that battle going on? The reality, as long as we have flesh, as long as we have breath in our body, there's a battle that's going to wage. Planning takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of detail. It takes a lot of time. You will never be what God called you to be instantly overnight. There is a process that has to take place. But I want you to understand something. You will never be what God called you when you're outside of the environment that God needs to place you. Many of us, with our hopes and our dreams and our wills, and many of us have found ourselves in a place. It's one of those things that I had to struggle with when it came to coming to Winnemac to start a church. I didn't want to be out of the... There's no more miserable place to be than out of the will of God. You have to really stop and pray and fast and make sure, is this my own desire? Or is this the will of God? Is this something that I feel sorry for a community because they don't have a church? Or is this the will of God? There's things that we all wrestle with, and many of us have found us choosing our own will and our own desires, and then we wonder why it's not working. Anybody ever been there before? Where we pushed our will, we pushed our desires, and it was our desires, not the desire of God, not the plan of God, but it was our own choices. It was something that we knew we wanted. I remember who I was talking to the other day. It was maybe even a conversation here at church where we were talking about the scripture where the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He would give you those desires. He would give you those things. If it's wholesome and pure and true and right, He'll bless you with those other things. But you will never come to the fruition of seeing those things of the joy and the peace and the comfort and the happiness that you want to see in your life outside of the environment that God needs to bring it to pass. How many of you want to live a blessed life? How many of you want to have a blessed life? You see, we as ourselves must understand seed is dormant until it's put in the right environment. I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care how gifted you are. I don't care how much of the Holy Ghost you have. If you're not walking in unison with the calling that God has on your life, you'll have an aborted ministry. You'll have something that never came. This doesn't mean God can't touch you. Doesn't mean God doesn't mean people along the way may not be saved around you. But I think sometimes we settle for a little bit of revival when we could have a whole lot. I think sometimes we settle for second best with what God wants in your life. I think sometimes that we, because of our own wills and our own desires within ourselves, that we oftentimes just say, well, as long as I have a little bit of God, it'll be all right. It will be if you only want a little bit of blessing. Think back in Scripture how many people God called, God equipped, God chose, God prepared. And they sold themselves short because they overstepped or they moved aside and they didn't stay in the will of God. You see, here in an apostolic church, we look at things much differently. We don't measure the success of this world upon houses and cars and things and money in the bank. All of that stuff is, that's just added blessing. What we really measure by is when you look at your spiritual life, what do you see? How many lives have you affected? I'll never forget one of the greatest funerals. I don't know if there's a great funeral. Is there such a thing as a great funeral? I guess when you, even within the church, we measure those things differently. Because I remember sitting at, was we were at men's conference, and I got to see Robbie Johnson, and most of you won't know him. My wife would know him, maybe not him in particular, but his father. His father was Bob Johnson. Bob Johnson was one of the finest preachers I think I've ever seen. He was probably one of the greatest preachers. I had more respect for him probably than any preacher that ever walked, and he was apostolic from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He would love souls. He would reach for people. He would do everything he could. He would lay on the, I remember him laying on the altar. He was up in age. I remember on the right side of the church. I remember him laying on the altar on his belly, pounding the platform, preaching his guts out one night, just trying to get people to just get right with God and reaching for souls. I remember him just giving to where he couldn't even hardly stand up by the time he was done. And I still remember him as he planted many churches, but he never had a big church. What we measure is success. What we look at, did he ever pastor a big church? Did he have a big facility? But he was willing to be called to do the ministry God had called him. He would go in and he said, I remember walking into a church that the district asked me to go in. He would go in and fix churches. They were problem churches. It was ones where the people ran the pastor off. And it was his job to go in and try to salvage this mess. He said, I remember, he told me one day, he said, Brent, I remember going in that church. He says, they was about ready to go to fist to cuffs. He said it was a mess. And if you knew Brother Johnson, he had nerves of steel. He could keep a smile on his face and look him straight in the eye and just say, it ain't going to be that way. That's just the way he was. He'd go to fasting. he'd go to praying. He'd go to preaching. And he would preach with a fervency and an anointing and a power. And before long, you know what would happen? That whole thing would turn around. He'd get that church back up. Some young man would come in. He'd pass the church off to him. He'd go to the next one. And I remember putting a furnace in his house in his old age. He was retired, couldn't get up, stricken with sickness in his body. I'd go in there and I'd sit in the chair beside him. He'd talk to me about what God had done in his life. He'd talk to me about ministry. He'd talk to me about what he wanted to see God do in my life. And he would just impart things into my spirit. And I remember as we had that funeral at South Bend at Brother Menholster, and the place was packed out. And the platform was full of preachers. I began to count over 12 pastors. Were pastoring some of the greatest churches in Pentecost. He had dug them out of the gutter, won them to God. He never pastored a great church, but if you added up every person they were pastoring, there wasn't a church in Pentecost could have held every person. What I'm trying to tell us as a pastor here is sometimes we measure those things differently. We look at those things differently. But he was willing to stay in the environment that God had called him, not knowing, and I say really knowing, that he never would have the stature or the clout in today's world as we measure stature and clout. But the reality was he was investing in the kingdom of God, being in the environment he was in, and what rolled off of his life was a host of pastors. One of them is one of the greatest preachers, still my favorite preacher yet today, in Silsbee, Texas. One of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. And he still today says, I want to thank God because I used to be one of the worst men in our city. And my pastor, Bob Johnson, dug me out of the gutter. But in order to see those things happen, you have to be willing to submit to the environment that God has put you in. Now, I'm preaching to us as a church today. It's not by accident, Brother Jeff, that you're here. It's not by accident that you're here. It's not by accident some of you other ones that maybe have been around other churches, been around, affected by other things, that you're here at this moment in this time. Because could it be that God placed you here in this season, in the right environment, to now bring to fruition what he has tried to do for a long time in your life? And God has prepared the soil at the right temperature, at the right amount of sunlight, and the right amount of moisture, and now what can be birthed is a beautiful masterpiece of God's mercy and grace, and fruit becomes to grow, and things begin to happen because you've been dormant for too long, and now you're in the right place at the right time, prepared for this moment in history that we can make a difference in a community that had absolutely no hope before. They had no place and no lighthouse to tell them Jesus is coming. But here we sit today, blessed. Many of us don't see us as the value that we really are. You see, there are many things that we measure wrong when it comes to our lives. We as a society measure how much money we have in the bank, not how much we pray. We measure how much time did I spend on vacation and what trip did I get to take this year, not looking back and say, how much time did I fast? We measure how successful the kids are and what kind of college they went to, and not how spiritual they are. It's amazing when you stop to really look at things differently, how much we really measure things completely in the wrong spots by the wrong categories. There's a particular passage of scripture, and I'll have him throw it on the overhead. Psalms chapter number 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the what? What he's saying is, if you want to be blessed, don't measure it by what everybody else is measuring. If you want to live blessed, don't measure it by getting the advice from those outside instead of those inside. How many of us have found us when we hit problems in our life and we go for answers and we try to get things solved? We seek the wrong counsel. We go to the wrong people. We go to the wrong, trying to get the right, we want to go get the answer we want to hear. Or is that just me? We want to go get the answer the outcome that we want. So we ask the right questions to the right people. So now we get an amen section. And not a, you know. That's not exactly scripturally the right spirit, the right thought process. How many knows that if you want to live the blessed life and you want to have the fruit and you want to have the blessings in your world, you better not seek the counsel of the ungodly. Then it goes on to say, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. If you're living the blessed life, how many knows bitterness will eat you for lunch? Bitterness is a bad pill, and it doesn't kill anybody but the one that swallowed it. Many of us sometimes think that we have all the right answers, and we have all the things, and we know best, but the Bible says if you want to live a blessed life, number one, you better not go measuring your life and your success and the things you want to see by those things outside the house of God, but you better go back to the Word of God and measure them by them. You better not go try to figure out how to raise your family if you're going to live the blessed life by the latest psychologist, if you will, or the latest family quote-unquote experts, but you better go back to the Word of God and say, you know what, when it's that little precious girl that I'm looking at right there, I'm going to go back to the Word of God because I want to get it right. I want to make sure that I'm raising her in the fear and the admonition of God. Let the experts say what they want to say, but there is one place I know is always right, and that's the Word of God. How many of us, when we're struggling with sin, we're struggling with things in our lives, and we don't have a lot of visitors here. We just got friends here, so I can have a little more liberty today. Oftentimes, when we're struggling with things in our world that we're struggling with, you probably shouldn't go to a drug addict to figure out how to stop taking drugs. Probably not the best support group. If you're struggling with alcohol, you don't go talk to the boys at the bar about how to quit drinking. Well, I'll tell you what I did. It worked for a while, but here I am again. Well, good luck with that. You know what? If you're having trouble with your marriage, you're probably not the best place to go on the gossip line. Get your advice on the gossip line. You probably better go back to the Word of God and see what it is it takes to fix this marriage. Maybe it's not all him or her. Maybe it's me. But even more than that, we must understand we will only be as successful as those we surround ourselves with. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Simply mean, if I want to be a man of God, I better surround myself with people of God. If I want to be someone that God blesses and uses. And I see myself in my calling and where God, you know what, as a pastor, I don't go run around with people that got 10 people in their church. I'm just being honest. You know who I associate with? People that's had success, people that's got people getting the Holy Ghost, people getting baptized, people that's in constant revival, people that have that inflow all the time and that outflow all the time. And if it works for me as a pastor, how much more so does it work for us as a people of God? Be careful what we surround ourselves with, even in the church. If the phone rings every Monday, comes a point you need to say, you know what? Maybe I need to be talking to somebody else in the church. Mysteriously, every Monday when that phone rings, I mysteriously need to go grocery shopping. At a different grocery store than they go to. We don't have that in our church, so I thank the Lord. But I preach it now so we won't have it as we grow. Amen. But sometimes we've got to recognize we will be what we surround ourselves with. If we want to someday be in ministry, we better surround ourselves with the Word. If we want to raise those kids to have an anointing of God upon their life, and you want to see them pastoring or preaching someday, then you better get them involved in Bible quizzes. You better get them involved in plugging them into the Word of God and letting them know how valuable reading that scripture to them over and over and over again. Taking them to prayer meeting. Teaching them what prayer is. Teaching them to pray at home. Teaching them when we're having fasting. It's not just mom or dad fasting, but we're fasting as a family. And we're going to all fast together. There are a lot of things that we've got to realize what we surround ourselves with. If we want things of God, we've got to create an atmosphere where the things of God are conducive in our life, not rejected. Pay close attention. If you want corn to grow, you better not go plant it in Antarctica. It's probably not going to happen. You know what? If you want rice to grow, you're probably not going to go plant it in the middle of a field in Winnemac, Indiana. You better go find some water. And that's what Pastor is trying to get across to us today, is every single one of us has that calling of God. We're not all the same seed. We're not all the same person. We're not all the same ministry. And when you get to a growing church like we are, we have to cultivate to recognize where can my ministry flourish. And that's the things we need to look. And we don't need to look on the outside. We need to look on the inside. If I want to be a music minister, then you know what? I probably ought not spend all of my time studying Sunday school stuff. I might want to go back and start listening to some good gospel music. I better start learning how to sing. I better start learning how to worship and praise when we're in church. And you know what? If I want to be a Sunday school teacher, I better go back and start reviewing some of those Sunday school lessons. When was the last time I made a craft? You know what you'll find? All of a sudden, when you find that zone that you know God has called you in, you'll feel some popping. It's like the perfect environment when that little chicken starts to peck at that egg. Inside out. And all of a sudden, you start coming out of that shell. And you know what? All of a sudden, you find something that God had perfectly ordained and given, and it just never has came to pass because you weren't in the right environment. But you start praying. You start fasting. And you start getting in that mode of where God has called you. All of a sudden, that plant starts to bring forth something. And now there's a sprout. And all of a sudden, it starts to grow. What a beautiful thing it is. If we want to preach, we better surround ourselves with Word. If we want to be blessed, we better be a cheerful giver. If we want to be used by God, we must prepare as if we already are being used by God. If we want to be a church that's growing, and we want to be a church that's running 500, we better be praying like a church that's running 500. We better be fasting like a church that's running 500. We better be preparing like a church that's running 500. And I think we're doing a good job at all of those things, but I don't want us to lose focus of those things. When all of our music ministers were here preparing today, and didn't they do such a good job? All preparing here at 12:30 today. You know what they were preparing for? They're preparing for the when we've got 15 or 20 people working in that environment. Because we don't want to be comfortable just where we're at, because we will become dormant. It doesn't mean because you've never seen the ministry. I'm going to be about five more minutes, and I know I'm preaching different today. I'm preaching to the church today. It doesn't mean because you've never seen the anointing of God on your life like God has called you. It doesn't mean God hasn't called you. That seed can lay there on that seat for years. But when it's put in the right environment, you'll find something that laid dormant for a long time, all of a sudden, it swells up. All of a sudden, it breaks forth out of the dirt. But it takes two things for that to happen. One's the right environment. The second is willing to die. Willing to be put into that place where God can use you. I want you to look a little further at the last part of that scripture. And I'm coming to a close here. He that delighteth in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water, that bringeth forth his fruit, what? In his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How many wants to live a blessed life? How many of you want to be used by God to the extent? Let's all stand. How many of you want to be used by God to the extent that he has called you to be used by God? My question for you today is, where are you getting your counsel? Where are you looking to for answers? Where are you spending most of your time? What are you investing the most money in? What are you doing with most of the thoughts that roll through your mind? I'll go a little further. What kind of music is playing through your mind all the time? What are you ingesting into your spiritual being? The pastor didn't come to pick on us today, but think about it. If you're constantly ingesting the garbage of this world, you can't feed garbage in and expect to get God out. You can't ingest the carnality that comes all the time through Hollywood that's fed into your mind, some of the smut and junk that wants to destroy your children and destroy your mind. And it's coming in on a constant basis from your phone, from the TV, from the garbage that's hand-prepared to destroy us. And be a constant ingest of that stuff. And then expect God to be there when we need him. The old saying says, garbage in. You want to know why you're going negative all the time? Maybe you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Maybe that's where you're getting your advice. You want to know why sometimes maybe your mind all of a sudden goes to those nasty thoughts? What are you feeding into your mind? What's coming in? If we want to live the blessed life, we've got to be willing to die. You know what that means? I've got to go someplace else to get my advice. I'm not going to have an amen section, but I'm going to have to look somebody and let them tell me no for a change. I've got to look at something that I want more than anything else. And I've got to stand there and tell myself, no, it doesn't fit in the prism, because it'll put me in the wrong environment and I'll never grow. And I know this is not a hang from the chandeliers or But this is a lesson here today and a message here today that to challenge us, to let us recognize that process of being planted as seed is not fun. It's not easy. And it's a process that we must not resist. Because if we do, we will be just another dormant church that sits on the side of Highway 35 and the world goes by and they'll never see fruit. They'll never see what God has called us to be. But I thank God I'm a part of a growing church. I thank God I'm a part of something that God has reached down and we've created an environment that people can be used by God. People can be affected by God. I wonder if there's anybody else summer coming. Is there anybody else that says, you know what? I want to rededicate some things in my life right now. I want to somehow refocus my mind right now to say, you know what, God, am I doing everything I need to? Am I submitting to the right environment? Am I submitting to the right spirits? Am I listening to the right voices? Am I going to the right places? Am I ingesting the right things into my mind right now, God? Or am I holding fast to those things that seem right to a man, that the end thereof are destruction? Am I still looking to the wrong things? Am I searching for the wrong answers? Am I looking in the wrong playbook? If I could just go back to the presence of the Almighty God just for a moment. Is there anybody else that would like to spend a few moments in prayer? Can we just create a prayer room all over this place? If you want to kneel at your seat, that's fine. But can we just spend a few moments with the King and say, God, let me just recheck my motives. Let me recheck my focus. Let me recheck some things in my life. God, am I still propelling forward? Am I just sitting off to the side here and not really fulfilling my call, God? But somehow allow me, God, one more time. See you for who you are and know you for what you can do. God, I'm asking you right now to reach down to every person that's represented here today. God, I want nothing more as a pastor than to see them used by you. I want nothing more than to see them, God, that somehow reach down right now and see your hand upon them, God. Begin to challenge them. Begin to somehow let them submit to that no in their life. Help them submit right now to that thing that they desire more than anything else. That you can stand in their way and say, you know what? If you want what I've called you to be, if you want what I am taking you to, then you've got to submit to where I am going. And the environment that I have placed you in is conducive to everything you need in your life. God, I'm asking you right now to reach into their mind, reach into their hearts right now, God, and allow them one more time to be used by you. Reconcrete into their mind to allow them right now to see you for who you really are and know you for what you can really do. God, I'm asking you right now, Jesus, to walk through this place. I'm asking you, God, to walk through this house right now, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. That is who you are. Thank you, Jesus.
Waymaker,
miracle worker,
promise keeper,
light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Miracle worker,
promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Oh, Jesus. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Waymaker,
in the name of Jesus,
worker,
reach down right now, God.
Keeper, light
hallelujah,
darkness,
Jesus.
God, that is who you are.
Oh, God, they don't see it. They don't understand it sometimes, but they know they're calling God. I'm asking you to somehow let them submit to that process in their life right now. So one day they can hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter therein. Reach down right now, God. Let mercy and grace somehow trim away those things from us, those things that somehow have held us captive and kept us dormant. And we never really were what you called us to be. But today, God, I'm asking you to peel those things away right now. Let them submit to that process in their life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Promise keeper, light in the darkness. In the name of Jesus right now. Let your anointing reach down.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise
keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Waymaker, miracle worker,
promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I wonder if we could reach out all across this place for a few more moments. God's still touching lives around here in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Promise
keeper, light in the darkness.
My God.
That is who you are. Have you found him to be your miracle worker? Have you found him to be everything he called you to be? Hallelujah, Jesus. Even when I can't see it, God, you know, God, you made me a promise. There's a promise birth in every person here, God. There's something living inside of them, God. If they'll submit to you, God, they'll see it come to pass in their life.
Never stop working.
Hallelujah,
even
Jesus.
When I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop working.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the dark.